Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Father, give us a portion from your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to continue in the series that we started. This is the fourth part on the believer's happiness. We have said that happiness for the believer is dependent on a number of things. It is not something the believer can pursue. It is the result of certain conditions before God in their life. Conditions such as, God is the Lord of my life. Conditions such as, I love His Word. And conditions such as, I go from simple faith to trusting Him in all things. And my happiness is dependent on these things and a few others. And today we will talk about one of the conditions for a believer's happiness. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs 28:14. The Word of God says, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Happy is the man who always fears. This is kind of a strange thing because we are taught that perfect love casts out fear. And we are taught that God does not want us to fear except for a reverence. But this is a little bit different than a reverence. Yes, I have reverence for God, but the fear of the Lord is more than simple reverence. And if I do not have the proper fear, I will not find happiness. So part of my happiness as a believer is contingent on fear. Let's take a look. Happy is the man that feareth, paukad, feareth, paukad, dread, not so much reverential awe, as anxious or nervous sensitiveness of conscience. That's according to Barnes. I'll read that again. Dread, not so much reverential awe, but as anxious or nervous sensitiveness of conscience. This is like, why will I be happy if I am anxious and nervous and sensitiveness? Isn't this like the contrary to what I believe is happiness? I don't like being nervous, and I don't like dread, and I don't like those kinds of things. They are things that make me unhappy. But the Bible says, no, this will actually make you happy. Why is that? Let's look at a couple of passages together, and we'll return to one of them. In Job 23, starting in verse 12, the Word of God says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Commandments speak of precepts and teaching. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Necessary food there refers to own disposition and attitude towards life. That he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. This is a strange thing. We don't think of this as finished work believers. This is a strange thing. But let's look at it. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 14, in the B part of the verse, I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts. I am a great king. This is why Job 28 has this confession. He has laid out a plan for my life, and he has put many things into that plan, and he will cause them to come to pass. But this troubles me. Why does this trouble me? Because I fear. I am afraid. He makes my heart soft and I am afraid. I should be. Why? Because He is a great King. I think as believers, we tend to forget that the Lord, our Savior, our God, is a great King. You know, before He became Savior, He was King. Before the angels were created, He was King. Before time existed, He was King. And He is King still today. I am a great King, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. I am a great King. Proverbs 16:19 says this, and take this to heart. I am talking to everyone who's hearing my voice. Whether you are hearing my voice and you are present here, or you are hearing my voice on a recording or on the internet, I'm talking to everyone who is hearing my voice. Proverbs 16:19 says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It is better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Why? Because the spoil of the proud puffs them up for a season before a great King, but He will bring it to be their destruction. That's why. Listen carefully. If you are proud, get rid of your pride. If you are arrogant, get rid of your arrogance. If you are unkind, get rid of your unkindness. If you are angry, get rid of your anger. You stand before a great King, and He will have none of a man's pride or arrogance or unkindness or anger. None of the things of His flesh will God tolerate. That's why He crucified Adam. That's why the cross came, because God would not tolerate it. If a man is proud or arrogant or unkind, then he lives in a form of arrogant self-deception that is willful against a great King. How long do you think the great King will tolerate arrogance in His face? Why is it tolerating in His face? I'm arrogant toward you. Because whatsoever you've done unto the least of these, you've done it unto me, the Savior said. If you are proud, get rid of your pride. If you are arrogant, get rid of your arrogance. If you are unkind, get rid of your unkindness. If you are angry, get rid of your anger. If you are reactionary, get rid of your reactions. If you are temperamental, get rid of your temperament. If you are moody, get rid of your moods. You stand before a great King. Bow before Him and humble yourself before He bows your knee for you. Because as sure as you are sitting here today, or as sure as you hear this message on the internet or on a recording, I will guarantee you that every knee shall bow before God, including yours. And that includes the believers. Get rid of those things that are not of God. If you have lust in your life, no matter what type of lust that is, get rid of it. Because it is better for you to go into heaven with one arm or one eye than to go whole into hell. Get rid of it. You stand before a great King. Now how does this not make me miserable? How is this my happiness? But it is the condition that you are in. Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you like it or not, this is where you stand. And you can play ostrich all you like, but God will remove your sand. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't wait. Get rid of it now. Have a sweet and gentle spirit. Have mercies and compassion on those who fail or those who are not somehow up to your expectations. Get rid of it. Get rid of your expectations. Put your trust in God. Get rid of your wants. Put your trust in God. He is a great King. Get rid of it. Do you honestly believe? Ask yourself this in the privacy of your own heart. Do you honestly believe that God will wink when you are not right before Him? Do you honestly believe that God will wink at pride or wink at arrogance when He sent His Son in utter humility to die upon the cross for you? Do you honestly believe that He will wink at these things? Do you honestly believe He'll pat you on the head and say, "That's okay, sonny or little girl"? He will not. I will guarantee you, He will not. And though He is the God of all mercies, He will not wink at those types of things. Proverbs chapter 6 tells us that. Those things are an abomination to Him. If I am proud, my pride is an abomination. If I am arrogant, my arrogance is an abomination. If I am unkind, my unkindness is an abomination. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. You stand before a great King. You stand before a great King. Therefore, in verse 15 of Job 23, I am terrified at His presence. When I consider this, I am afraid. I am afraid that my life is entirely in the hands of God, despite my volition. As Jonah found out, I am afraid that God will have His way, despite what my flesh may say. As Balaam found out, it makes me a little bit afraid. But you know what? That little bit of fear is a good thing, because that brings your very happiness. Let's take a look. In Psalm 94:20, the Word of God says, "Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises mischief by the law, have fellowship with you?" Fellowship there is the word havao, and it is to join together, to unite, to conjure, to charm, to heap up words. Its simple and physical proximity or touching of objects, the mental, emotional, and physical joining of forces. So what the psalmist is saying is, are you going to touch and join forces with Satan's throne? With the throne that is the regulator of evil, Satan's government? Are you going to join forces with this, and then you're going to support it in your righteousness by a law? If you have self-righteousness, get rid of it, because you are joining forces with the throne of iniquity. You are aligning yourself with it. Get rid of your self-righteousness. You have none. It's an illusion and a deception, and it's a trap. You have none. Get rid of things like desire. Desire is a trap and a source of bondage. Get rid of it. You stand before a holy King. And James, and this is where we really get the richness of the idea of the fear of the Lord. In James 4:6, that He giveth more grace. How is that fear of the Lord? Just listen, you'll find out. Wherefore He said, God resisted the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Well, in Hebrews 4:16, grace is a government. So, what is it saying? It's saying that the fear of the Lord and the humility that it takes for me to enter into that is putting me under the government of God. Do you realize this? Fear of the Lord puts me under the government of God in a practical, functional, experiential sense. So because I fear the Lord, I will enter the government of God. in Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned, sin reigns unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So when I get proud, when I get arrogant, when I enter into sin, when I get unkind, when I get reactionary, when I get lustful and desirous, I enter into sin, and that sin takes me into a government. It reigns over me, because repeated sin is evil. It reigns over me, and it brings me into death. And so why is it that I am happy if I fear the Lord? Because the fear of the Lord brings me under the government of grace, under God's government, and God's government reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. So what I have here, I have a position before God where I am in His government, and that government is functioning in my life, and it produces eternal life in me, the experience of God's life. And this makes me happy as a believer. It is very healthy for my emotions. It soothes them. It placates any woes that I may have. It heals any hurts, any sores or wounds that I may carry from the things that the world has done to me. My healing comes from being under the government of God. Do you understand this? The fear of the Lord puts me in His government, and my healing comes, my joy comes, my freedom comes from being under the government of God. You're going to be under a government. The only question is which one. As a believer, the only question is which one is going to become functional, practical, and experiential in your life. Well, pride will take me into the government of Satan, where I join forces, I align myself with him. This is why I say get rid of pride, get rid of arrogance, get rid of unkindness, get rid of anger, get rid of malice. How many believers are malicious or vindictive? Something happens to them and they're getting back at you. You know what? You have aligned yourself in a practical, experiential way with Satan. Enjoy yourself. It leads to your death. This is why I am happy if I fear the Lord. If I fear the Lord, I will be afraid to be proud because I stand before a great King. If I fear the Lord, I will be afraid to be arrogant because I stand before a great King. If I fear the Lord, I will be afraid to be unkind or reactionary or malicious or whatever, moody, whatever it is that is the fruit of the flesh. Why? Because I stand before a great King. But at the same time, the fruit of the flesh is the bondage that believers live in, those things which destroy their lives, that rob them of joy, that rob them of peace, that rob them of prosperity before God. So happy are you when you fear the Lord, because you enter into the government of His life in you. Happy are you when you fear the Lord. How many people who are believers, and there's so many, any given week you run into a number of them, they are believers and they are arrogant and they are unkind, they treat people with contempt. They have aligned themselves with the other kingdom. They are functioning in alliance, touching and cooperating with Satan. It's a dreadful place to be as a believer. And God says, that is sin that is reigning unto death. Enjoy your death. Enjoy your death. You wonder why your emotions are going haywire? Because death is reigning in you, as you have aligned yourself with Satan's kingdom. That's why you're not happy. That's why you're not content. That's why you're not satisfied. That's why you're not fulfilled. Enjoy your death. He gives more grace to the humble. I humble myself before God, and then all of a sudden the government of God becomes overwhelming in my life and all that comes with it. He gives more grace to the humble. He does not give it to the proud, the arrogant, the unkind, the angry, the reactionary, the negative, the malicious, the vindictive. He gives more grace to the humble. He does not give it to those who feel their lust patterns are greater than God's call or God's word or God's way. He gives more grace to the humble. And the government becomes alive and overflowing in the humble man's life. He gives more grace to the humble. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud. That word resist, that's a powerful word because that is talking about a military resistance. That means God sends an army against the proud. That's the picture that's dealing with. God sends an army against the proud. You wonder why proud people are often negative and reactionary? Because their emotions are a mess because God has sent an army against them. But He gives more grace, He gives more of His government to the humble. In Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So now it tells me, okay, how do I practically apply this concept of fearing God? Well, the Word of God says that the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. There's my starting point. I start to enter into the fear of the Lord when I start receiving the instruction of wisdom. And that instruction of wisdom produces something. Before honor is humility. Honor is wisdom. Wisdom comes from honor, but before honor is humility. Therefore, I know that humility is required for fear of the Lord. And if I have fear of the Lord, I will simply humble myself. Humble yourself before God. Why? Because if you don't, He will humble you for you. And trust me when I say it, it is far easier for you to get rid of pride, arrogance, unkindness, all those things, than it is for God to humble you. But guarantee it, as sure as you're hearing my voice, God will do it. I promise you that one. God will do it. Why? He has purchased you with His blood. You belong to Him and He will do with you as He chooses. God will do it. In Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, that's his volition, shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. This is a sober verse. He that is often reproved hardeneth his neck. Why does he do that? He's often reproved because he's hardening his neck. Don't harden your neck and you won't often need to be reproved. He that is often reproved hardeneth his neck, his volition. He gets his back up. He's saying, I'm not listening to you. I'm doing it my way. And God says, fine, you want to be proud. I'm sending an army against you. Knock yourself out. One angel killed 185,000 men. I'm sending an army against you. Knock yourself out. Have fun with that one. Humility is a good thing, isn't it? This is why he that fears the Lord is happy. And suddenly, for the person who hardened their neck, their volition, who gets their back up, says, I'm doing it my way, I don't care what anybody says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There will be no fixing them. There will be no healing them. There will be no restoring them. There will only perhaps, if they are saved, be sin unto physical death. Why? Because in the hardening of the volition, I harden my capacity against God. That's a terrible place to be. be careful about that one as believers. That's a terrible place to be. In Proverbs 22:4, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and fear of the Lord, I get honor and riches and life. By humility and fear of the Lord, I grow in wisdom and understanding. I get prosperity in my heart and my soul. I get joy and peace and happiness in my emotions. I get that peace that passes all understanding, because I have entered into humility before God and fear of the Lord and instruction of wisdom. And I get the life of God there. Do you see why it is better to fear the Lord? Do you see why it is important to realize in your daily life, moment by moment, that you stand before a great King? How many people, if they went, for example, to the White House to meet the President, or if they go to meet somebody like the Queen of England, how many people get foolish in their presence? How many people would visit the Queen and say, oh, whatever, and get flippant and ridiculous? How many people would get arrogant and proud before the Queen or the President or someone like that? Yet they are a respecter of persons because they dare to be proud and arrogant before God. And He is a much greater King than they. He is a King that actually holds your molecules in place, and you dare to be arrogant before Him. So many believers, they dare to say an unkind or contemptible word to someone. They dare to treat someone with contempt or disrespect or dishonor. And God says all that time, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me. No fear of God. No fear of a great King. Jesus said, do not fear the one who can destroy your body. Fear the one who can destroy your soul. The Queen or the President may be able to destroy the body, but don't be afraid of him. Be afraid of the one who can destroy your soul. Why? You'll find your happiness there. Be careful for those arrogant, contemptible, cocky, unkind words that so easily flow from a believer's mouth. You say them before an Almighty God. As sure as you're listening to this message, you are given every word you will give an account for, even those words. A little bit of fear of the Lord will bring you some happiness. Do you think that when God says that He was joking? I don't see the word not after that. That by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches in honor and life. James 4:6, He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, He God resists, anti-tasso, against tasso to arrange. God arranges an army against the believer who is proud, who is not afraid of God. That He gives more grace to the humble. Do you realize something? God takes a military action against the proud. Do you realize that fear of God, that humility before Him or pride before Him, are kingdom issues? Do you realize that those things are issues of kingdom warfare in the angelic conflict? Do you realize that these are things that are issues of the great war that is being waged in heaven and spilling out on earth between God and Satan? Be careful which kingdom you align yourself with. Make sure you're aligned with the right one. Because those things are issues of war. This is why He arranges a great army. Because it's an issue of war. In Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve your Lord. Do you realize what the gods on the other side of the flood were? The biggest one was desire. Cruelty, anger, pride, arrogance, hostility, malice. These were gods on the other side of the flood. Genesis chapter 6 says that those demons that married women as the sons of God, that's what it's talking about, is demons. The demons that married those women brought in cruelty and hostility and pride, and that was the way of the world, and those were the gods on the other side of the flood. So that believer who has the audacity before God to have an arrogant, contemptible, proud spirit or word is actually living in an idolatry for which the world was judged and the flood came. This is powerful stuff to be in that position. You don't want to be there because God didn't put up with it then and He's not going to put up with it now. You don't want to be there. You want to fear God. You want to be a little bit afraid of Him, because then you are aligned under His government, and it's the government of tender mercies. Which would you prefer? I mean, ask yourself in your heart, what do you prefer? Do you prefer for God to send an army and take a military action against you, little old you, because you have decided in the strange thoughts of your mind that you can be arrogant? Or would you prefer tender mercies and loving kindness and gentleness and goodness and the ways of life? I don't know, but to me that's a little bit of a no-brainer. I don't know how it is to you. Apparently to some believers out there it's not so much of a no-brainer, because so many tend to live in these things. But to me, at least, because I like to read the Word of God, it seems like a little bit of a no-brainer. I'd rather get tender mercies, loving kindness, faithfulness that never fails, rather than an army sent by God against me. That's not good. That's what your Bible says. Look it up yourself. That's what your Bible says. Deuteronomy 6, the fruit of the fear of the Lord. You see, there's a fruit to the fear of the Lord. And it's a wonderful fruit. And this is why I'm happy, because I get to enjoy the fruit of the fear of the Lord. In verse 1, now these are the commandments, the precepts and the teachings, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and thy days may be prolonged. What happened when Israel entered into the promised land? And they entered in because they finally started responding to God in faith, keeping His word. They finally started keeping those things that had been taught to them by their pastor Moses. And they finally started responding to the word of God. And God finally said, okay, now you can enter into the promised land. What happened in the promised land? Every single enemy they had was utterly destroyed. Before, when they were in the wilderness, they would have to fight with the enemies, but sometimes they wouldn't be able to destroy them. Sometimes your self-help program doesn't really work for you. But when I enter, because I have kept the precepts and the Word of God, I have stored it in my heart, and I start to get to experience the fullness of all the 7,800 37 promises. That's a different kind of a story. That's a thing I can deal with as a believer. Destroy my enemies. What are the enemies that I have? The things that hurt my life. The things that hold me in bondage. The things that come against me, whether they are of my mind or outside of me. Whether there are things like desire and lust, whether there are things like insecurity and fear, whether there are things like temperament and moodiness, whether they are of my own accord, or whether they are somebody that comes against me or rails against me and attacks me, somebody who comes and tries to harm me. No matter what they are, if they are my enemies, I will get rid of them when I start to live in the fear of the Lord as is taught to me by His Word from the Pastor Moses, Israel. And there it is. Jericho goes down. Ai goes down. Amalekites, Moabites, Hittites, Perizzites, all the ites go down. Why? Because there's nothing that can stand before the great King. Do you realize this? God destroys your enemies because no one can stand before the King. No one. It is better to be lined up with the government of grace than with the government of evil. It is better to be lined up with the government of grace than the government of evil. It is better to have fear of the Lord than to have no fear of God, to have pride in my heart before Him. It is better to live in grace than it is to live in iniquity. Why? Because then I am lined up on the side that wins. Do you get it? It's really very simple and very pragmatic. I'd rather be on the side that wins than on the side that's already lost. Yeah, how many believers line up with the side that's already lost? Because of their flesh. I'd rather be with the side that wins. I'd rather get rid of the pride and the arrogance and the unkindness. I'd rather get rid of the reactions and the anger and the hostility and the malice and vindictiveness and the moodiness and all the things that plague the flesh, that are of the flesh. I'd rather be on the side that wins. I'd rather be on the side that promises loving kindness and tender mercies. I'd rather be on the side of gentleness and goodness and patience and love. I'd rather be on that side. What about you? Wouldn't you? I mean, really, honestly, wouldn't you? Yet so many believers are not. I'd rather be on God's side. Why? Because God wins. And God loves me and He shows His mercy to me. And He fulfills me. And He withholds no good thing from me. I'd rather be on that side. In Proverbs 119:133, order my steps in Thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. This is fear of the Lord, instruction and wisdom. Order my steps in Your word, and let not any iniquity, any, not one ounce, let no iniquity have any dominion, reign over me. Don't let iniquity reign over me. Don't let emotional reactions, don't let the things that are born of pride reign over me. Don't let me line up in that kingdom. Order my steps in Thy word. And let no iniquity reign over me. In Proverbs 11:19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth his own death. I go into humility before God, and God imparts to me and imputes to me the experience of His righteousness. And what happens as a result? I get life. But if I absolutely insist on being proud or arrogant or unkind or whatever it is, then my Bible says, and so does yours, I'm pursuing my death. I'm living in a slow, prolonged suicide. Because the great King will make sure it happens that way. It's His word. Oh, it is better to fear the Lord. It is better to fear the Lord. Death does not produce happiness in me, but life does. Life produces great happiness in me. Death produces great misery in me. What's the fruit of your life? Ask yourself honestly, what is the fruit of your life? Is there death there? Is there anger, sadness, loneliness, malice, unkindness, arrogance, contempt? Is that fruit in your life? Or maybe is it gentleness and goodness? Maybe it is loving kindness and tenderness and patience. Maybe it is a contrite spirit before God. Maybe it is the joy of the Lord. Is that your fruit? Well, where have you been aligned with? Have you been aligned with the kingdom of God or the throne of iniquity? Where have you been aligned with? Don't you realize God is bringing you an offer of freedom? What are you going to do with it? This message to everyone who's hearing it is an offer of freedom from God. What are you going to do with it? It's an offer of life from God. What are you going to do with it? It's an offer of peace and happiness from God. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to humble yourself before the Lord and do it His way? Or are you going to be proud before the Lord and have Him resist you in a military action? The choice is yours. What are you going to do with it? Think about that one. You don't have that many options. You have one or the other. There is no third option. There are only two kingdoms. Job 28:28, and unto the man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." So I have a choice, don't I? Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" You see, the beautiful thing is, if I fear God, I don't fear anyone else. If I don't fear God, I fear everyone else. Do you get it? If I fear God, I fear no one but God. If I don't fear God, I'll fear everyone but God. Don't be afraid of the one who can destroy the body. Be afraid of the one who can destroy the soul. The body's not eternal, the soul is. Be careful of the way that you deal before God. Fear Him. In everything, fear Him. Always fear. Always fear Him. Psalm 78:53, "And He led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies." So I fear God and He leads me safely in the things that I do not know or understand, in the paths that I go in, just like it said in Job 23. He's going to have His way in my life, and it makes me afraid, but it only makes me afraid if I don't fear Him. But if I fear Him and I learn to trust Him because I revere all that and who all that He is and who He is, if I fear Him, then I don't fear anyone else, and He deals with my enemies, and He deals with me so that He leads me safely. I don't get hurt there. I don't get damaged there. My capacity is not destroyed there. My capacity is not hindered. A life is found there. Joy and pleasure is at God's hand. Do you see it? Ecclesiastes 8:5. Whosoever keepeth the commandment, again, that's teachings and precepts, shall feel no evil thing. I'm not even going to feel the evil as it passes by. He shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. So I'm not going to fear any evil thing, but I will discern what to say, when to say it, how to say it, what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And when God says now, I will know it is now. And when God says this, I will know it is this. And when God says you, I will know it is me. And He leads me in safely. He leads me safely. And nothing can come against me. Nothing can come against me. In Psalm 34:9, O fear the Lord, ye saints, and there is no want to them that fear Him. There is no neediness and desire because of neediness, because I fear God. There is no lack because I fear God. I'm aligned in His government. I'm aligned with the throne of grace and the way that God does things and all the things that He does. I'm aligned with God. Psalm 115:111, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now I have help and I have a shield. Now I have protection. And now I'm quickened. And now He comes and helps me in all the things that I have. And He is a great and He is a present help in the time of need, because I have feared Him. And Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? It's very simple. If God is for us, who can be against us? This is why if I fear God, I fear no one else. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? And who's going to separate me from His love if I'm in His kingdom? Who can do that, separate me from God? It's a very simple choice. I can have the love of God through the fear of God and all the benefits of being in a functional and operational sense in the kingdom of God, or I can refuse the love of God, I can refuse the help of God, I can refuse the protection of God, I can enter into my pride, and I can line myself up with the devil who's already lost the battle. There's my choice. I can choose misery or I can choose happiness. I don't know about you, but I think I'll choose happiness. I fear God. Fear Him. Fear God. Fear Him. Fear Him. And finally, in closing, Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think so highly of your own opinions and your own thoughts. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't get puffed up, but fear God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. It's very simple. A life of God is very simple. It only gets complicated when things like things of the flesh, like pride, come in. That's where it gets complicated. But really, life with God is very simple. Fear Him. Don't think too highly of yourself or your opinions or your thoughts, and fear God and depart from evil. And you'll be happy. Amen.